In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to hour number two of the program for Monday, October 11th, 2010. On Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Management issues in government, always challenging, and financial management issues getting a lot of attention over the last couple of weeks and months. And my guest to talk about them today and other management issues is Robert Tobias. He's director of the Public Sector Executive Programs at American University. And welcome. It's great to see you again, Bob. Always nice to have you in studio.
Always a pleasure to be here, Francis.
Thank you, thank you. And before we went on the air, we were talking about your weekend activity, which was to go to Ann Arbor. And I'm sorry that your team did not come out of the Michigan State game on the upside.
You had it did not.
You had a little bit of a rough time there.
A little bit of a rough time. I would say more than a little bit of a rough time.
But you did not have nearly as rough a time as Major Hester of Detroit did. This is the guy that I don't know if you heard about this guy or not, was supposed to have a pacemaker installed. And decided not to have the pacemaker installed until after the Michigan State game. I hope you were not planning any kind of heart surgery that you put off before the game, but
I was not.
But anyway, even though your team didn't come out of this the way that you wanted, I'm glad to see you, and it's good to know you're back in D.C. You were actually at the game.
I was.
And you'll go. How often do you go out there?
Well, once a year I take my kids, my adult kids, and my grandchildren to a Michigan football game because I grew up in Ann Arbor, went to the University of Michigan. So we go to one game a year. This mm-hmm. year, it's Michigan State.
Lucky you. I mean, that probably wasn't an easy ticket. I did not know before today that you went to University of Michigan. So
Both an undergraduate and an MBA from Michigan.
MBA from there as well. Excellent. Well, we're glad you're back in town and back to the routine and so on. Reason I wanted you to come in and talk today is because we've been seeing a tremendous uptick in focus on financial management. A lot of hearings on the Hill about financial management at the agencies. I had highlights last week on one hearing in particular about financial management at DOD. A lot of attention being paid to the high-risk list that the Government Accountability Office maintains, and there are a lot of financial management systems on there. And I'm wondering what you think this focus on the financial operations at the agencies, the way they do them, the kind of technologies that are in place for them, kind of the fine, minute details of financial management, what that means as we move forward. We're kind of in a holding pattern, spending bill-wise, and we'll get into that in a little bit, too. But what does this focus on financial management indicate, do you think?
Well, I think when it's expected that there will be a squeeze on authorization, when managers are going to be challenged to do more with less, I think there's a renewed focus on having the data necessary to make rational choices. And you can only make rational choices and have data if you have an excellent financial management system. Now, there's been a focus for many years on improving financial management. The Department of Defense has been the longest longest unsuccessful effort. But many departments have found it incredibly difficult because, first, it's very expensive. Second, by the time an agency gets all of its individual stovepipes, all of its agencies together on identifying what it needs and developing and the IT project to get it, the IT has made advances, and then it's back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult, given the complexity, given the number of different financial management systems that are in existence, to really come together and create something new and effective.
One of my guests last week talking about this issue suggested that using packages, financial management software packages that are available that already observe pretty standard financial management operations, and then customizing those, tailoring them to the needs of the agencies is a way to get these systems online a lot faster so that you're not 5 years into a project and finding technology is changing. Now, full disclosure, the gentleman works for a company that sells software packages that do that exact thing. But it did seem like a concept that makes a lot of sense because of just more than anything else, because of that timeline issue. We're getting into all these projects, IT projects, and finding 2.5 years into a 5-year project that we're way off target, not just application-wise, but dollar-wise, too.
Well, certainly that approach makes a lot of sense for some agencies in some situations, but often what's ignored by people who advocate that is how do I transfer the data that I currently have into that package?
Mm-hmm.
How do I preserve what I have in the context of this new package?
Yeah.
And that's often very difficult in and of itself because of how outdated the existing systems are.
Yeah. This gentleman talked about going into agencies and finding COBOL-based systems in there that are, I mean, they got to be at least 15, 20 years old, maybe longer.
Mid-60s.
Wow. And they're still operating, still churning out what they're doing, what they need to do. They're meeting today's needs. But as you say, I can't imagine the challenges of extracting the data that's there and putting them into a new system.
Most of those, or many of those processes, lack documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who developed them have long since retired. So extracting that data and putting it into a new system is one of the greatest challenges of creating a new system.
Are we talking in some cases about just starting from scratch? And I mean, what are the choices when you have something like that?
Well, one of the often debated issues is, do I just start from scratch with a new fiscal year and deal with the old years? But the problem with that is, the Office of Management and Budget requires me to do 5-year rolling budgets.
Mm-hmm.
So maintaining two separate financial systems and then reconciling those systems once a year creates both cost, efficiency, and effectiveness problems.
Logistically, I imagine that's just a nightmare.
Very hard.
To try to do that.
Very hard.
And so if you're talking about the 5-year plan, you're looking at least 5 years. Once you finally get your new system online, you're looking at 5 years of essentially duplicative work.
Dual systems.
Yeah.
But more importantly, dual reconciliations.
And then on top of that, merging the two systems together in for reporting. It's interesting to me, too. You mentioned OMB. They're getting more involved in this at the agency level than I think we've ever seen before. Why do you think that is?
Well, because if I'm an administration that wants to create some credibility with the public about how the public's money is managed, I have to have an effective financial management system in every agency across the government.
Someone who is in, who should know and is behind the scenes said that the conversation in many cases has gone on kind of in this way. The agency says, we're working on this problem and we're really trying to get it better. And OMB, the message is, we got this and we don't need your help. And OMB's response is, then why have you been on the high risk list for 15 years or whatever it is? This is conversations happening multiple times across multiple agencies. It's not just directed at DOD. And that seems to be the challenge, is these things go on year after year after year. And for example, the Pentagon hearing that I mentioned to you, the 2007 was when they were supposed to have their system online. Now it looks like 2017 is the number, and there's a conversation about whether they'll be able to make 2017. And so these things just go on and on and on. Bob Tobias of American University is my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll talk more about the challenges agencies are facing with financial management and other management issues when we continue. We'll be right back.
Most people know that they could save 15% or more on their car insurance by switching to GEICO. Helping people save money, it's what I do. And quite frankly, it's something that GEICO's been doing for over 70 years. But here's the really good part. GEICO is actually a shorthand term for Government Employees Insurance Company. So yeah, GEICO and the government employees, we go way back. Which is why, if you're a federal employee, you can save even more money on top of GEICO's already low rates. And the news just gets better. GEICO's got an impressive 97% customer satisfaction rate. So you get some of the best service this side of the Potomac, and you get to save hundreds at the same time. Win-win, my friend. Oh, I've got to run, but I'll let my friend Mike fill you in on the rest. All yours, mate.
Thank you, my little green friend. Hey, it's Mike Causey. If you're a federal employee, then I've got some good news for you. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com and see how much you could save.
What if I said you had the power to speak Chinese or to dream in French? What if you could even read in Italian? You'd be skeptical, right? What if I could prove it to you with a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone, one that unlocks your ability to learn any language on Earth? Introducing the all-new, more powerful Rosetta Stone, the only language learning program that literally awakens your natural ability. And for the first time ever, they're inviting you to experience their groundbreaking program, absolutely free, with a free demo CD-ROM. Call 1-800-600-6621 and request yours. Developed around the way you naturally think and learn, Rosetta Stone teaches you your new language with the tools you already have. And now you can experience it for free. Awaken your natural language learning ability today with a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-600-6621 and request yours. Rosetta Stone, your natural ability awakened. That's 1-800-600-6621.
Diaper bag, check. Bouncy seat, check. Stroller, car seat, bottles, butt wipes, and binky. Check, check, and double check. Why it takes 30 pounds of equipment to transport one 12-pound baby, we'll never know. So at Kaiser Permanente, we put everything for baby and you in one place. Everything you need, from obstetricians and nurses to nutritionists and pediatricians. A whole care team of specialists assembled to keep your baby and you in top running order, not running around. And you can even go online with My Health Manager to schedule routine appointments, check most lab results, and exchange emails with your Kaiser Permanente doctor's office. Imagine having a conversation with your pediatrician without having to fold or unfold that stroller. Convenient, check. Efficient, check. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Tobias of American University, and we're talking about management issues in government and especially challenges with federal financial management issues. We talked a little bit about the technology end of this, Bob. As we look across the agencies, what are you seeing as far as the people that we have to do this financial management? It's one thing to have the technology in place. When the technology is in place, do we have the workforce that we need to be able to manage these systems and get them on track?
I think the key issue is creating and implementing these IT systems. I'm pretty confident that once the systems are in place, they can be maintained by the federal workforce. It's designing them and implementing them, merging the hundreds of systems across the federal government into one departmental system. So, for example, when you have 22 separate components in DHS, each of whom have a history of their own financial management system based on a gerrymandered system, creating one financial management system for DHS is just a monumental task.
One criticism that I hear, especially from the Hill quite a bit, is take payroll, for example. Payroll should work pretty similarly at every agency, so why can't every agency use the same system or use a similar system and customize it? How did we get – well, first of all, is that a fair argument, do you think? Is that a fair question? Are the things that agencies do that look similar on the surface similar enough that that should maybe be a consideration?
Well, I think there has been a significant consolidation of payroll systems. I think we're down to four currently, mm-hmm. when every agency used to have one. But it's also true that agencies are, on the surface seem the same, are much different.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have people who are criminal investigators in your agency, they're paid at a different rate. If you have people who, in the Department of Homeland Security, the former immigration inspectors who are now part of the Customs and Border Protection are paid different from the former customs inspectors who do the work. So calculating pay is often not as simple as you might think on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, these four payroll processors that are done by the government haven't invested in technology to keep abreast.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, too, are falling behind.
Yeah. That's exactly the kind of investment that the administration has really emphasized since they've been in office. The hard part is, politically, that's not sexy at all to say we're going to spend a lot of money on back office operation systems, and people everywhere just kind of their eyes glaze over. What should the administration and what should Congress be doing and what should the agencies be doing to sell these investments, which I don't think anybody that does any kind of business consulting or knows how organizations operate would deny that we don't want business being done on systems that were built in the 1960s, as you alluded to earlier, that the time for upgrades is well past, if not here. But how do you sell that? How do you make that a priority in a time like we're in financially?
Oftentimes it's difficult, if not impossible, because there's so many competing needs, and the decider says, Francis, is this broken?
Mm-hmm.
Francis says, it's not broken.
Not broken. We can get by.
We can get by. It's just not as efficient as it might be. So I say, okay, Francis, we'll hold it over another year.
Yeah.
And then year two, year three, year four, year five, and you come and say, Bob, it's now broken.
Mm-hmm.
So now it takes 10 times the amount that it would have taken 5 years ago to fix it.
Mm-hmm. And these IT infrastructure issues are the same as we're seeing with hard infrastructure issues, roads and bridges and so on.
Exactly.
All of those kinds of things cost a lot more once they're damaged than mm-hmm. maintenance does to keep them going at a higher level of performance throughout the entire timeline of the project.
That's correct.
How do we then, I guess the bigger management question becomes, how do we position ourselves, given that we're kind of in a hole when it comes to that kind of thing? How do we position ourselves to stop digging, first of all? They always say first step when you're stuck in a hole is stop digging, to then be able to climb out of that and really get a handle on staying ahead of the curve on some of these kinds of things? Or is it maybe too late for that? Is it going to require some cataclysmic event in government to be able to get people to focus on that?
Well, I think that certainly the Congress, and more often than not the president, is focused on public policy creation and implementing that new public policy as opposed to maintaining the and implementing policy already created. So presidents come into office, make promises for change, legislation gets enacted, and this president has enacted health care reform and financial management, which will yield thousands and thousands of pages of regulations and all kinds of energy and effort. And when somebody raises their hand and says, "Mr. President, I think we need a new financial management system," and he says, "That's very interesting. How about next year?"
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Congress and the president are focused on implementing the policy they create as opposed to the maintenance of the policy they've already created.
I'm reading between the lines of what you're saying, and we'll talk about what I think I'm reading between the lines of what you're saying when we come back in a moment with Robert Tobias of American University on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Luke Russert. NATO is investigating what may have been a rescue gone wrong. A British aid worker was killed Friday in Afghanistan during a rescue raid by American forces. British Prime Minister David Cameron insists U.S. troops did their best to save Linda Norgrove.
I'm clear that the best chance of saving Linda's life was to go ahead, recognizing that any operation was fraught with risk for all those involved, and success could by no means be guaranteed.
The 36-year-old woman was kidnapped 3 weeks earlier and may have been killed by a grenade thrown by U.S. military forces. Back at home, President Obama is lobbying hard for a $50 billion transportation project, what he calls a long-overdue investment in the foundation of the country.
What we need is a smart system of infrastructure equal to the needs of the 21st century.
And the rescue capsule that is supposed to bring 33 Chilean miners to the surface early Wednesday has been given a test run. The engineer says it was a success, and the first of the trapped men should be topside by midnight Tuesday. I'm Luke Russert, NBC News Radio.
Mom, can I have dessert?
Before you answer that, think. Have they done their homework? Cleaned their room? Regrouted the bathtub? If they did, they know what's at stake. Warm, gooey banquet pies made with real fruit. Tasty peach, apple, and cherry berry. Microwavable in 4 minutes for about $1. Good enough to get them doing the dishes and feeding the dog. So next time you need that carburetor fixed, you know what to do.
Do I smell pie?
Banquet's new fruit pies, next to the pot pies. So good for so little.
Good news, ladies. Ugly brown spots on your skin might feel like they're the end of the world, but they're not. You can fade those brown spots from view with Dr. Perry's Night Skin Cream. New customers can try Night Skin Free. Diminish the appearance of brown spots on your face, neck, and hands. Try Night Skin Free. Call 1-800-509-4152. Pay only shipping and handling. One per household. Call for your free Night Skin. Call 1-800-509-4152. That's 1-800-509-4152.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
New damage-tolerant aircraft controls will allow the safer landings of any damaged aircraft. Of course, military aircraft face many threats today, including surface-to-air missiles and weapons fired from hostile aircraft. So to improve the survivability of damaged aircraft, the Damage Tolerant Controls Program, administered through the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, is developing software to compensate for damaged aircraft control surfaces and engines. That'll allow pilots to land their aircraft more safely. The technology also applies to material failures that can impact flight performance. DARPA officials say the new technology can also benefit commercial and other aircraft.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
WashingtonCaps.com is the destination for behind-the-scenes coverage of your Washington Capitals. Get the latest news, stats, schedules, analysis, and info about your favorite Caps players. Explore Caps 365, the multimedia section where you can access podcasts, exclusive player interviews, live pregame shows, video highlights, and much more. Check it all out on WashingtonCaps.com. Red is Caps hockey.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy, it works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.
Profile America, Monday, October 11th. Throughout the years, this month has traditionally seen the premiere of new television shows, some of which have become recognized as classics. Saturday Night Live appeared for the first time 35 years ago today. 55 years ago this month, two long-running children's shows debuted, Captain Kangaroo and the Mickey Mouse Club. And 60 years ago, in the early days of television, Groucho Marx sat on his high stool for the first time and bantered with contestants on the show You Bet Your Life. Also that year, the Jack Benny program began its transition from a beloved radio show to become one of the nation's favorite television programs. When Groucho and Jack Benny started their shows in 1950, fewer than 4 million American homes had television sets. Profile America is in its 14th year as a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
Government executives, your agencies are adopting new ways to embrace accountability, enhance collaboration, and engage citizens. From October 24th through the 26th in Williamsburg, Virginia, learn how to advance your agency's IT mission at the 20th Executive Leadership Conference, a government-driven forum where government and industry IT leaders openly exchange ideas and contribute to actionable solutions. Register today at actgov.org/ELC2010. ELC, delivering transformation.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Tobias of American University. And before the break, Bob, we were talking about the situation with financial management and how much attention is paid to those systems and so on. And reading between the lines of what you're saying, it sounds to me like what you're saying is, other than some outrage by Congress on individual committees where people are concerned about their parochial interests, this is, and some attention, as we've discussed, from the Office of Management and Budget that can be done within the structure of what's already in place, doesn't sound like you're real hopeful of any meaningful change anytime soon, just because of where we are budget-wise and how many other things need attention first.
I think it's very difficult. I think it's extremely difficult, because the confluence of events that has to take place is, one, the agency has to have credibility with Congress about the need. The agency has to have credibility with Congress about the budget, credibility about the group of people who will actually design and implement the program, and then credibility with GAO, with inspectors general, and Congress as a large project is funded over time. That takes a great deal of significant leadership time, energy, and effort by political appointees who turn over pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing that just because the high-profile offices in the White House are starting to turn over. I'm fascinated by the fact that the media, who doesn't pay a lot of attention to the operation of government, is all aghast at the fact that so many people are leaving the Obama administration seemingly all at once, and yet we're well past the sell-by date that most political appointees have. We're almost 2 years into it, but we're past that 18-month time frame. So it's a chance for me to sit back and chuckle at some of my colleagues who don't pay attention to this stuff every day.
Well, historically, 1.8 years was the sort of standard for political appointees. But mm-hmm. actually, since President Clinton, that time period has been expanded, and so too with the second President Bush, where political appointees are more likely to be 2.5, 2.7 years mm-hmm. than the old 1.8-year standard.
Do you see anything as far as what the turnover rates look like that indicates anything other than people are just get burned out, as people do in political appointee positions?
Political appointees work, for the most part, incredibly hard. They are truly 24/7 days mm-hmm. with incredible responsibility, and people get tired.
Yeah, it's not hard to understand when you shadow somebody for a day or hear about what the work schedules are like to understand that you can only do 2 years of that before you just wear yourself out.
One of the things that infuriates me most when some politicians talk about political appointees in the federal workforce and make the statement that people don't work very hard. This is a town where people work incredibly hard. They work long hours, and they work very hard. So I think it's a very bad rep.
You know what I think is fascinating? I've never talked to a former political appointee of either party who has disagreed with the fact that federal employees, the career people, work extremely hard, do very high quality work. And I mean, there's just, I've never heard one person say, yeah, I worked at an agency and three quarters of the people I worked with were bums and they're just leeching off the taxpayers. I've never heard that once in all the years that I've been covering the federal government.
Well, when I was president of the National Treasury Employees Union, when a new secretary or deputy secretary or sometimes assistant secretary for management would come into office or change during an administration, they would always call and say, I'd like to talk to you. So the conversation would inevitably come around with, how are you in background and experience and so forth? And then they would say, well, you know, what about those poor performers?
Mm-hmm.
You're a union leader. What about those poor performers?
Mm-hmm.
So I would talk about the fact that the legislation that exists makes it very easy to discharge federal employees. And I would often say to them, well, you know, if you take a look at that legislation, I'll bet you lunch at the restaurant of your choice that if you take 20 minutes, it'll only take 20 minutes to read that legislation, you'll find out how easy it is. And if that's true, then that makes you responsible for actually dealing with poor performers mm-hmm. rather than blaming the legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, I never had to pay that bet off.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, without exception, as you suggest, every one of those people at the time they would leave would say, wow, I never knew there were so many talented career federal employees.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get this message out.
Yeah. Yeah, the evangelism, too, element of it, of people who leave service, political service, and say, I just wish people knew what was going on is interesting to me, because it's so 180 degrees opposite of the perception that most people have, even before, I think, this recent rash of reactivism to what's going on here in Washington. Robert Tobias of American University, my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our conversation continues in a moment.
What will the Fed VIPs be talking about at Fed Talks 2010? Go to FedTalks.com to get the scoop. Fed Scoop will be hosting D.C.'s biggest VIP gathering of the year on Tuesday, October 12th. It's a new fiscal year for the Feds, so come hear about key initiatives and priorities from top federal agency CIOs and CTOs, network with your key prospects, clients, and partners, meet Arianna Huffington, rock out with the DJ to the White House, and enjoy performances from the Arlington rap comedian Go Remy. Go to FedTalks.com to save your spot today.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Air Inc. National Security Advisor Jim Jones resigned last week, saying it was time to move on. But before doing so, he told President Barack Obama at a public ceremony why he took the job.
I was persuaded that you were willing to take on the hard issues of our time at a very, very difficult moment in our nation's history, spanning the difference between two very different centuries, the 21st century and the 20th century.
His deputy, Tom Donnelly, replaces him. I'm J.J. Green.
Can you imagine the frustration of trying to repair a $1 million piece of equipment only to discover the part you need cannot be found anywhere because the manufacturer no longer exists? At Airink, they have the ability to recreate the most complicated part down to its smallest component, keeping that expensive piece of equipment running as if it was brand new. For more information, log on to www.arinc.com.
Who is the best-dressed Fed? The nominations are in, and the five finalists have been chosen. Now it's your turn to vote to determine the winner. Will it be the Air National Guardsman with his prized Texas belt buckle, the Pentagon SESer who manages to look his best both in Afghanistan and on the golf course? Or will it be the IRS employees who never dress down on casual Fridays? Or maybe the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency Fed, who colleagues say dresses with impeccable taste? Voting's open through Monday, October 18th. Go to federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Robert Tobias is the Director of Public Sector Executive Programs at American University and my guest for the hour on In Depth with Francis Rose. And even though it's Columbus Day, there are a lot of people in government that are at work today, and we appreciate you spending part of your time with Federal News Radio today. Bob, as we talked about a lot of elements of financial management here, one of the most critical elements of managing finance at your agency is whether or not you're going to have money and what kind of money you're going to have and where it's going to go. We're here in essentially the middle of October. No more work will be done congressionally until after the elections. We don't know what the elections hold, but there certainly will be a tremendous amount of change coming in January from all accounts. We're in a continuing resolution that runs, I believe, until December 2nd. There's a lot of people in this town in a lot of agency buildings that are sitting there going, I don't know what I'm going to be doing beyond December 2nd. And knowing that between now and then, they're in holding patterns. What's the strategy for people who are in those situations? Just kind of hold tight and see what goes on?
Well, think of it this way, Francis. The 2010 budget, which is now under a continuing, the 2011 budget, which is now under continuing resolution, was designed in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Was designed in 2009 and approved, and the president initiated it in February of 2010. And so now we're at a stage where agencies have created all kinds of projections about how to spend this money, and they don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't hire the people they need. They can't provide the training they need. They can't do the IT infrastructure upgrades that have already been approved. So they're in a phase of trying to figure out what not to do so as to keep their spend levels at last year's levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredibly frustrating, debilitating, demoralizing approach to managing resources over an extended period of time.
Let's play a what-if game for a few minutes, if you don't mind. Let's say that the changes that are being talked about congressionally in the media happen. Let's say we have a Republican House in January. We have a much closer margin in the Senate, but still democratically controlled President Obama. And let's say that for whatever reason, the Congress decides, you know what, we've been doing this wrong for a long time. The public is saying we want Washington to be more competent. We want them to be more accountable. And so one of the ways we're going to do that is we're going to get spending bills through. Policy-wise, they'll probably be much different. You're smiling. You're disagreeing probably with the premise of my my little exercise here already, I believe, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But what difference would it make to the agencies, given that we've been in continuing resolutions for a number of years now under Congress, when Congress controlled by both parties? What difference will it make for the agencies if they just get the bills on time and know whether they like the policy dictates that are contained in them? At least they would have an idea of where the spending is going operationally.
Well, I think, if indeed spending bills were to occur on time so that the agency had its budget on October 1, it would be so much easier to hold people accountable because they've planned to spend X dollars. Now they have X dollars. Now at the end of the year, you can say, did you efficiently and effectively spend X dollars?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you have X minus 3 months of increase or X minus 5 months of increase, and how did you spend those dollars?
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to hold people accountable for a plan when you don't give them the resources you promised to give them.
Yeah. I'm guessing by the expression that you made while I was laying out my hypothetical that you're not optimistic that that situation will change anytime soon.
I think that there's somewhere around a 50-50 chance that the lame duck Congress will pass all of the spending bills in one package. Other than that, my guess is it's going to be March or April before the 2011 budget will pass, which will mean agencies will be operating 5 or 6 months on last year's funds.
And the other option that I'm hearing is the idea that we might just see a CR for the entire rest of FY 2011.
It's certainly an option.
Which would be, what a mess that would be.
That's a fact.
Robert Tobias, my guest from American University on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back to wrap up in just a moment.
Please join Jim Fleisig Wednesday, October 19th at noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. A panel will focus on identity management efforts in the federal government. The panel includes government leaders from DHS, OSD, and GSA. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum, Wednesday, October 19th, 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by HP, SafeNet, and UMUC.
Il Porto Restaurant says to minimize the prevalence of drug abuse, involve children in constructive activities. It's been found that active youth tend not to use drugs. This message from Il Porto Restaurant, with two locations to serve you better. One is at 245 Muddy Branch Road in Gaithersburg. Call 301-590-0735. The other is at 200 South Market Street in Frederick, and you can reach them at 301-620-7480. Stop in for a delicious meal, courteous service, and comfortable atmosphere at Il Porto Restaurant.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy half-price gift certificates to Hair by Moses in White Flint Mall. Moses is an award-winning master stylist and colorist with over 28 years of experience, specializing in hair extensions, Brazilian blowouts, and highlights.
India Palace Bar and Tandoor in Germantown, serving the finest Indian cuisine. And the Grill Jamaican Eatery. Savor a taste of the tropics.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
How has the Chief Information Officer role evolved over the last decade? What are the key challenges facing both private and public sector CIOs? And what does the future hold for those leading information technology efforts? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these and other questions with his very special guest, Harvey Coppell, Executive Director of the Center for CIO Leadership. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
The end of October in D.C. means the awesome spectacle that is the Marine Corps Marathon. Be part of MCM Weekend with activities open to the public. Visit the Free Health and Fitness Expo presented by GE at the Convention Center on Friday and Saturday, October 29th and 30th. Then Sunday, October 31st, the streets will be overrun with 30,000 runners in the landmark 35th Marine Corps Marathon. Live coverage on Comcast Sportsnet. Remember to take Metro, the Marine Corps Marathon sponsored by Aetna Arlington. Find out more at marinemarathon.com.
Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Tobias of American University. And we're talking about some of the challenges that agencies are facing when it comes to management issues. You and I like to get together every couple of months or so to talk about this. If we're looking at, say, another December get-together, is there much that we can expect to change between now and then? What should we be paying attention to, maybe from OMB, maybe from Congress if they come back for a lame duck? What are your clues as to what 2011 might look like managerially based on what could happen between now and the end of the year?
Well, I think it's reasonable to expect that agencies are going to be faced with significant cuts in authorized amounts. So they're going to have to do more with less, which means they'll have to decrease some of the programs that they currently undertake, try to decrease those programs, which will be very hard, or manage more effectively, both of which are incredible challenges.
Mm-hmm.
We've been through this before. I expect that we're going to be in it again, no matter what happens with Congress. But because I think the president recognizes the need to do it, Congress has recognized the need to do it, and it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel? A lot of our conversation today is focused around potentially either negative situations that agencies are in now or potentially difficult scenarios in the future. I don't like to be the show of the glass or mug half empty. What's the half full part of it that we might have to look forward to, do you think?
Well, I'm always hopeful that that this kind of a financial crisis will require political appointees, career senior executive service officials to do what they've needed to do for a long time, and that is install the infrastructure necessary to do more with less effectively. Financial management systems, performance management systems, and reward systems that really allow people to be held accountable and to be rewarded when they perform.
Mm-hmm. A number of folks that I've talked to lately on both the agency side and the employee side have talked about the incentive system and how you make it work in a government scenario. I can't imagine what kind of reception that might get on the Hill if somebody were to go and say, we want to implement a bonus system, something similar to what DOD has used for retention. I don't know about you, but I think retention right now is not getting nearly enough attention paid to it compared to the recruitment part of HR. It seems to me that it's easier to keep the good people that you have than try to go find new ones, and I don't know how much we're focusing on that right now. That's a sidebar for another discussion that we could have. How do you sell that? How do you sell some kind of an incentive or bonus system to get the good people to stay?
You can only sell incentives if you have accurate measure of performance, both individual and organizational. And right now, very few, if any, agencies have those measures in place. If you do, then it's easy to provide incentives.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's only, I'm going to reward you because you work hard, that's not going to sell to the public. It's not going to sell to Congress. The answer has to be someone did 10% in a measurable way more this year than last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We started this conversation in a bit of an offbeat way. We're going to wrap it up the same way, talking about your love of University of Michigan football. You're playing Iowa in the homecoming game this Saturday night. Any predictions there you want to make?
It's going to be one more very hard game.
Yeah.
Michigan has been suffering the last couple of years, and the Michigan faithful were hopeful after a 5-0 start.
Yeah.
And now we're
still 5-1. I mean, that's not terrible.
We're still 5-1, and we're still hopeful, and we have our fingers and toes crossed.
You can't see it, but the lovely producer of the Dorbeck Insider Show, Emily Jarvis, is an OSU fan, and she's giving you the big thumbs down behind your back there. You can't see her because she's in the studio behind you.
Our time will eventually come with Ohio State as well.
I have no doubt about that. Actually, that's how you wrap the season up. November 27th is
right.
You got to go to Columbus and deal with that. Thank you for dealing with me for this hour, Bob. It's been a pleasure, as always. Great to see you. Happy Columbus Day. And thank you for being here as well on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.